Has anyone here ever faced a storm in their life? I'm not talking about a physical storm. I'm talking about a spiritual storm or a physical challenge or battle that you may have faced. Please turn to Genesis chapter 9. Tonight, we're going to be taking a look at leaders facing the storms of life. In my home office, I have a window that's closest to my computer. And it's become the collection of my daughter's small art pieces over the years. They don't put massive pieces of art on this window because I still want to see outside. They put small pieces of art. So it's the prized location that they can display this. And I often gaze off to that side when I'm working throughout the day. It must have been a couple of months ago that my younger daughter, Callie, was memorizing this verse in Genesis about the rainbow when my older daughter, Izzy, became inspired to make this beautiful art piece. And as you could imagine, she displayed this in my window so that everybody could see it. And this is something that I would look at, quite often. And a few weeks later, after that, she had produced this piece of art. I was working one day and I was directed to look at this rainbow and was inspired to write down some thoughts about God's restorative nature. You see, as leaders, have you ever needed to be restored? When the storms of life came, when the aftermath of a storm left a flood? This happens to us at times. Or maybe the onset of a challenge that came gave you some initial thoughts like, wow, I don't see how I can ever come back from this. Or things will never be the same after this. Or how could this relationship be restored? Or my health, how could this ever happen? So, as leaders, how do we respond to the storms of life? When what was normal, when what was peaceful, enjoyable, becomes apparently overturned and upheaved overnight. When we need restoration, what provides us the assurance that it's actually going to happen? Well, let's look at the first storm that rocked the world. In Genesis chapter 9, let's take a look at verse 9. Genesis 9, chapter 9, verse 9 says, "Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth that is with you, as many as came out of the ark. It is for every beast of the earth. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall any flesh Shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you, and every creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring the clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." So here what we see is the rainbow, the sign of the covenant between God and the earth. Please turn to Isaiah chapter 51. Think about it. After the flood of Noah, can you imagine how people must have felt about a rainy day? They very easily could have said, "Not again. Anything but that. Not again." But every time there could have been a concern for the earth flooding again, God provides the rainbow as a constant reminder of his covenant and protection of the earth. The rainbow is a sign of God's restorative nature. It represents not only God's protection, but his restorative power. When the challenges and tragedies of life have, wreaked havoc within our lives, as leaders, we trust in God to restore us. The key is not focusing on the storm or the aftermath of the storm, but which is the flood, but rather on God. And that's what gives you peace in the midst of a storm. So, just over a month ago, Jackie and I were faced with an overwhelming financial challenge. Our emergency fund that we had saved up for years was stolen as a result of a scam with an unlikely return. I won't go into all the details, but I can truly say that you realize how much of your heartstrings and your trust in God are a result of your bank account balance. What if you woke up one day and it was gone? How do you respond in the aftermath of a storm? When we are faced with a flood, I was reminded of God's covenant of the rainbow that Izzy drew for me in my window. Get this, the rainbow is not a reminder of the storm, but it's a reminder that the waters are abated to never again wreak havoc on the physical earth. There's a deep connection between God, his earth, and us, his people. The rainbow is a sign of God's ability to restore, no matter how expansive the flood may appear in your life. Let me tell you, the God that we serve will keep his covenant with you. Isaiah 51, verse 15 says, "I am the Lord your God who stirs up the sea so that the waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. And I have put my words in your mouth and covered you in the shadow of my hand, establishing the heavens and laying the foundations of the earth, and saying to Zion, you are my people." Please turn to Romans chapter 8. Oftentimes, the storms of life that we face may take us by surprise. Whether it be a relationship that's gone astray, whether it be a financial hardship, or a difficult health prognosis. As leaders, we are to be at peace amidst the storm, for we are convinced of his ability and his faithfulness. Why? Because he has a covenant with us, a covenant of love that we received through the blood of his only son. Nothing can stop his faithfulness. Who can hold back the restorative nature of our God? When faced with a flood, we stand on his faithfulness, for nothing falls out of the scope of his ability to restore, especially when a covenant is made. It's absolute. So, if what you're going through right now doesn't make sense, then as it says in Romans 8, verse 28, then it's not over yet. And verse 28, and we know that all for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Verse 31, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring anything against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Just as the rainbow was the covenant initiated with Noah for all future generations thereafter, we have a new covenant in Christ. The love of God is an everlasting covenant in which all things work together for good. The love of God carries with it a force, a strength that will lead and guide and direct, even when you took a wrong turn, to bring good back in your direction. I don't know what you're going through, but if you aren't experiencing good, well, then hang in there because that just means that God is not done working. Let's close in Psalm 23. What I love about Romans chapter 8, the subject is never the issue that is being faced, but God and how we have been restored through Christ. It's easy to allow the issue that we're facing to consume our energy and efforts. But when God is in the equation, what seems insurmountable becomes very small. And David understood this truth. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I love that phrase. His focus was on God rather than the issue that he was facing. Let God be your pastor. This word shepherd literally means pastor. He is watching over us and pastoring us as we go through life. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Verse 3. He restores my soul. This word restore here, it means to return something back to the point of departure. God brings everything that got undone back to the original point of departure. This word is often used of the return of exiles, and it's associated with the return of God's people to his covenant. As you could imagine, in the aftermath of our storm, I was pretty discouraged. But a couple weeks later, out of the blue, our neighbors texted us that there was a rainbow over our house. Here is the photo that God had our neighbor capture for us. As we face this challenge, this is our reminder of God's restoration. The message that came with the image was that it was incredibly bright for a few moments. I want to encourage you that as leaders, we will go through seasons of life where we are face to face with a storm. But don't let the aftermath of the storm become your focus. Rather, place your focus on God, for he has an unwavering restorative covenant with you. This is the image that our neighbor captured. God had our neighbor captured for us. And they did tell us that it was incredibly bright for a few moments. But it was just indicative of God's restorative ability and his restorative power and really his restorative nature. We have an unchallenged, unbound love of God, and that's what brings good to us. And it's something that we have to remember and focus on whenever we are faced with one of life's challenges. God bless you.